For many parents, there's a distinct moment when it hits you. It's not just about you anymore. It's about making sure the people you love are taken care of, no matter what the future holds. And for a lot of people, that's exactly what gets them thinking about life insurance. If you've been putting it off because you think it's too complicated, life insurance through Ethos is designed to change that. Ethos makes the process of getting covered fast and easy by moving it 100% online. There are no medical exams. Applicants just answer a few simple health questions. You can get up to $3 million in coverage with some policies starting as low as $30 a month. It's a straightforward way to help provide financial security for your family. Take 10 minutes to get covered today with life insurance through Ethos. Get your free quote at ethos.com/Greg Hill. That's ethos.com/Greg Hill. Application times may vary. Rates may vary.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Did you know that there are over 200 legends like Andrew Jones, Albert Pujols, Felix Hernandez, and Ken Griffey Jr. in MLB The Show 26? Collect them all and current all-stars to build your perfect lineup. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's maintained in the letter X.com/AI.
The Red Sox front office report this week is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, official supermarket of the Red Sox radio network, by FindMassMoney.gov, and by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning. The name to know when your drains don't flow. And I believe this is the first time we have spoken to this man since Tracy's turnaround, as some are calling it. Craig Breslow joins us this morning. Hello, Craig.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing?
Well, I'll tell you that I prefer Craig's comeback, or even perhaps Breslow's bounce back. I don't know which of those you like, but that's what I'm going to go with.
Thank you.
No, you, either one is fine with you, or?
I think I've learned better than to try to influence what you're going to say about me. So I'll sit back and listen.
Listen, it has been very complimentary of late. I'll tell you, I for one feel like I owe you an apology. It wasn't that long ago that I said I was more likely to go on a run than this team, and didn't they just go on a big huge run right after I said it? So. My sincere apologies on that. I missed the mark, Craig Breslow.
Well, no, I appreciate that. From my perspective, I haven't changed. We're trying to do the same things every day, which is, put together the best roster we can, provide the best information to our players and to our coaches that we can, and set them up to be successful. But the players, Trace, the coaching staff, they deserve a ton of credit for the way that they've played over the last, really month and a half or so. And it's a lot easier when the results are lining up with all the work that's going on behind the scenes. But it's been really, really fun to watch the way that these guys have grown together, the way that they believe in each other, and the confidence coming out.
Craig, based on what this team has been able to do on how they're playing, if they continue to play like this, what do you believe this team can accomplish by the end of the season?
Sure. You know, we believe in this team. We believe in the roster and the players going back to spring training. And obviously the first couple of months of the season didn't go the way that we had planned. But we wanted to build a team that was capable of making a deep playoff run, you know, and not sure it's fair to say like, hey, I think this is what these guys can accomplish, because I don't want to limit it. I also think that part of the success is driven, has been driven by Trace and the group's focus on the day to day. So doing everything to prepare to win tonight's game. And then regardless of how that plays out, doing it all over again tomorrow.
Craig, with the Mead injury, does that change how you're going to handle the trade deadline next week, or are you staying kind of pat?
Just such a brutal injury for Curtis and for the team. Just really feel for him, knowing how frustrated he is and wanting to come in and continue on the great season that he's been having and make a really positive impact on the team. And I think the guys were really excited, to have a guy that can hit in the middle of the order, can hit for power, doesn't chase, can do so many different things well. So just really feel for him. But with respect to how it affects our deadline, you know, we're still a few days out and we're still getting as much information as we can about what players might be available, what the cost of those players might be. And we were going to approach this probably pretty similarly. Maybe one thing it gives us a little bit more flexibility in terms of where or how we might be able to find some opportunities to upgrade. I talked for a bit about how the positional flexibility of the group really left multiple avenues open anyway.
I know you won't be specific when it comes to players, but from a need perspective, you look at this team, what are your priorities going into the deadline Monday?
Yeah, I think I probably just touched on it a little bit. In that there are a bunch of different ways I think that we can improve the team. Still looking at the way that we're scoring runs and if there's opportunities to improve the offense there. And then given that, we traded a really good young starting pitcher to get Curtis. I think every team at this time of year is looking at pitching and trying to make sure you have enough depth. And that's not a statement that I think you can ever make with confidence, is that whether it's the rotation or the bullpen, feeling like you've got enough there, just because the last month and a half or so of the season can be so unpredictable.
Craig, do you believe that Chad Tracy has proved to you that he should be the manager of this team after this season?
I feel like I keep kind of going back to things that I had said previously where, I think one thing that makes Chad so good is his ability to focus on what is directly in front of him and the group. And what we have seen is a guy step into a situation and be this incredibly positive, calming, reassuring, familiar voice, and someone that has gotten the most out of the group. And when you think about the role of the manager and, what someone who's filling that position over the long term does. And I think Chad is showing that. I think he's a true partner with me. We collaborate, we bounce ideas off of each other. We challenge each other in a way that's really productive and brings out the best in each other. So I can't say enough positive things about the job that Chad's done, but right now we are focused on our 2026 season.
Chad told us last week on this show that Roman Anthony was at the Homewood down in Fort Myers rehabbing. How much does his return impact what you guys do between now and the trade deadline Monday at 6?
Sure. I will say not much in that we want Roman back. Roman is doing everything he possibly can to get back. And the moment he steps back foot, back on the field for us, we're going to get better. At the same time, we have to make all of these decisions kind of independent of each other, just so that we don't find ourselves relying on something that we're not certain about. And so if there's an opportunity to get better in front of us and it fits us, we're gonna do everything we can to take advantage of it, knowing that Roman in the background is working as hard as he can to get back, and whenever that happens, it's going to be a massive boost.
Are you confident in the way the team is diagnosing injuries? There's some questions that are asked, the x-rays when it came to Meade being negative, the Roman Anthony thing, the Garrett Crochet thing. Are you comfortable that you guys are getting the right answers when it comes to these injuries?
The diagnosis for Roman and Garrett, at least in particular, has not changed. The amount of time it's taken to get back on the field has, and I think we're constantly battling this balance of trying to get information out and being respectful of the fans, who want answers, with getting the information that we can. And in the case of Curtis, he had x-rays immediately. They were negative. That's true. Woke up with some increased soreness and felt like the kind of medically responsible thing to do was to get additional imaging, which revealed the fracture. So I understand the confusion. It wasn't intended to be misleading. It was delivering the information that we had in the moment to try to answer the questions as best we can in real time.
Craig, when you look at Chad Tracy's job, his job is obviously to be day-to-day with these players and focus on that. Your job is big picture. When you start to look at this team and you go, all right, if we want to make a deep postseason run, we need to get better or address this area. Is there an area that you feel like you need to address in order to make a deep postseason run?
It's hard to say need versus would like to or want to, because the roster that we have on the field, will have on the field tonight, is one that has won a bunch of games in July and won 15 games in a row. Now, I think realistically, we know that as you work your way through the postseason, you're getting only the team's best lineup, the opposing team's best lineup, and only the opposing team's best three or four starting pitchers and their best two or three relievers. In the postseason, it's a lot harder to stack single after single after single, and most runs come via the home run. So power has been a conversation for this group for a while. But, I think as a result of the work that the players are doing and the coaches are doing, we're also seeing the quality of our bats go up and the damage on balls that get put into play go up with the same players. So I don't want to discount the improvements that have been made within the group and the work that's being done. But we're going to cast a wide net, as is the responsible thing to do as we approach the deadline over the next 4 days.
There's a lot that goes into it. Wiggy thinks you just ChatGPT it because that's all he does, but there's a lot that goes into it.
It turns out there is, yes.
But you use ChatGPT because it is a great tool.
You're asking?
Do I?
Yes.
Yeah. I actually use it rarely. I've heard that most of my dialogue is driven by ChatGPT. That's actually not true. I think about the words that I use.
Greg, Wiggy thinks you just reboot during
the interview. I actually use it, Craig, and I think it's a great tool. Just helps. It's a great tool. That's why I said if you don't, you might want to try using it for certain things. It could just help you in life in general.
I think he's doing okay now, Wiggs. But Craig, I'm the Connelly Early, so obviously that comes together. It's probably not a second you get a call, Connelly Early for Curtis Meade, done deal. Are there players that you hang up the phone on when you get called about? Like, if somebody called about Roman Anthony, do you entertain it, or do you just say, no, he's the future of this organization?
I feel like there are times where you say, okay, there's no chance we're trading this player. And then there are other times where you say, hey, it's responsible to the organization for me to listen and understand where another team is coming from, but it's just so unlikely that we're ever going to match up because we know how we value this player, and it's impossible to think that some other team is gonna value them kind of at that level where it would make sense to make a trade or transact on it. So it's probably a little bit of both, but there are players on our roster that it just seems impossible for us to trade and think that we're going to be able to accomplish what we want to, both in 2026 and in the next
3 to 5 years.
You talk to people around the league all the time while you're working deals, and just in general, you talk to John Henry a lot. Is there any feeling of extra urgency when it comes to this potentially being a final season of baseball before a lockout or such?
Sure. It seems like every team is handling this a little bit differently, and I think that probably makes sense. I also think, as an organization, we just have to decide the way that we're thinking about it and kind of run our race relative to that. I would say the way that we're approaching 2026 is more driven by the talent that we think we have on the team, the step forward that we made last year, making it to the postseason, and the organization's stated intentions of building upon that, more so than what might happen in 27. I think there's so much uncertainty there that we can kind of twist ourselves in a pretzel trying to figure out what that's going to look like. We've got a great opportunity in front of us in 26, and that's what we're focused on.
Craig, when you look back at the Meade diagnosis, he had a similar situation back in 2023, and that was a 62-day return for him. Are we looking at that same pattern here, or is this not as bad as what he suffered in 2023?
Yeah, I guess the first thing to say is that we're still getting some additional information, just in terms of follow-up with the hand specialist, and making sure that we completely understand the situation that we have here. And I'm going to be reluctant to put a timeline on it outside of saying that I've spoken to Curtis a couple of times. You do everything you can to get back on the field as soon as possible. He knows he knows what's at stake here. He knows what we're trying to work toward. But I also think it may be a bit different from the last time, not in terms of how long it may or may not take to heal. I don't think we're at that point yet, but only in how quickly this was diagnosed, getting all of the information immediately, and making sure that we kind of put him on the right path in terms of rehab. I think last time, if there had been a bigger gap between the x-ray and the follow-up, we might not know exactly what we were dealing with as quickly as we will this time around.
Craig, it was interesting when you talked about some of the players that you might feel be off limits, but you have to entertain calls because that's your job. Flip the coin to the other side. Do you do that for, let's say, a guy like Scooble, who there's rumors that Detroit might want to trade? Are you picking up the phone and inquiring to see, like, what they're looking for a guy like that?
Yeah, I mean, putting names and aside for a second, but the answer is yes. If there are really good players that make our club better, that fit what we're trying to do, whether that's because of a position or control or whatever the case may be, absolutely. We need to make that call. I always thought we talked within the office, like, the worst thing that can happen is you wake up one morning and you see a player that you were interested in but didn't think was available got traded. Right, I feel like that's us not doing our job.
When you speak, you said you've spoken to Curtis Meade. Do you call him mate?
He calls me mate. I don't know. Like, I'm still kind of learning. I want to be an imposter. No, anybody who answers the phone with cheers mate gets like some extra bonus in my mind.
You could always throw put another shrimp on the Barbie out there or whatever, or crikey. That will get you guys closer, I would assume.
Yeah, no, I don't think he's ever heard that. So at least I could have been the first.
All right. Listen, thanks for taking the time. We appreciate it, and we will talk to you again soon, and it will be after the deadline. So go get him, Craig Breslow.
Thanks. Have a good morning.
All right. There he is. That is Craig Breslow. Many in the Twitch chat suggesting that he doesn't like me. I don't know about that.
I love Craig.
Really?
I got that vibe.
Did you get that vibe?
Because usually it's always at me, and I feel perfectly happy when I'm disliked, but it felt like there was an animus in your direction.
I don't know what it is.
Why? What'd you do?
I just do my job here. I don't know. Maybe it's the...
I think maybe he thinks
the roadshow introductions.
Yeah. See, that's what I think. Well, you might think you're the maestro of the booze.
I'm the maestro of booze.
Yes, like Craig Breslow, everybody.
Guys, Craig Breslow, the chief baseball officer of the Boston Red Sox.
Rocco says, Pistol Pete says he hates me 100%.
Yeah, because that was the beginning of the interview. And at the end, you said, you were more likely to go on a run than the Red Sox were. And then Craig told you today that he doesn't change. He just stays who he is. So he's not going to buy into the newfound love.
All right. Well, listen, I like the man. I commend the man on an absolute bounce back. Breslow's bounce back.
Yeah.
Breslow's reboot. If one
the ChatGPT line was great. Yes.
And for Breslow to say, I'm sure he's never heard that before about the
A little bit of a joke.
No, that was a shot.
From Craig. A shot, but also a little bit of a joke. Right. I like it. I kind of like it.
It's got a dry sense of humor.
Extra dry.
For many parents, there's a distinct moment when it hits you. It's not just about you anymore. It's about making sure the people you love are taken care of, no matter what the future holds. And for a lot of people, that's exactly what gets them thinking about life insurance. If you've been putting it off because you think it's too complicated, life insurance through Ethos is designed to change that. Ethos makes the process of getting covered fast and easy by moving it 100% online. There are no medical exams. Applicants just answer a few simple health questions. You can get up to $3 million in coverage with some policies starting as low as $30 a month. It's a straightforward way to help provide financial security for your family. Take 10 minutes to get covered today with life insurance through Ethos. Get your free quote at ethos.com/Greg Hill. That's ethos.com/Greg Hill. Application times may vary. Rates may vary.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Introducing the all-new MLB Plus, your ticket to streaming baseball's best.
Let's go!
Enjoy MLB Network 24/7 with live out-of-market games and award-winning shows. Enhanced game nights with MLB Big Inning, live and commercial-free. And hear live home and away radio broadcasts of every game, blackout-free. Even stream minor league games all season. It's all here and it's all new. Get MLB Plus for just $59.99 a year. Visit MLB.com/MLB Plus.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
I think my attitude, you know, we all hear a lot of the stuff that's going on. I think my main focus was just I'm here till I ain't. So, I mean, I'm here today, my feet here today. If I'm somewhere else next week, the week after, I mean, that's kind of what it is, you know. It's part of the business. But, I mean, taking every day by day, not thinking about what's next.
Do you think you're on the trade line?
No, I don't know. That might be a Vrabel question. Or anybody question.
Might be a Vrabel question, Keith. That is not exactly a guy who sounds like he's sold he's on the team. Like, I don't know, go ask Mike is effectively what he said.
Yeah.
You know, there's a little more edge to it in the way I just said it than how he said it. But, like, I don't know. Why don't you go ask Mike?
But also,
yeah, that's like Brady being, we were talking about this yesterday.
Yeah.
Brady's like, I don't know. Go talk to Mr. Kraft.
Yeah. But also, it's not up to him if he's on the trade block or not.
It's not.
Right? That is a front office question. But I thought the answer prior to that one was actually even better, where he's like, well, I'm here today. I might be somewhere else next week. So, like, what is, I understand the purpose of the follow-up, but what do you think he thinks? If he just said, if I'm somewhere else next week, A.J. Brown wouldn't say that.
Nope.
Romeo Doubs wouldn't say that. I know they're new here, but, like, Drake May obviously wouldn't say that. Like, a lot of other players on the team wouldn't say, well, hopefully I'm here next week. or not even hopefully, just if I'm here next week or 2 weeks or whatever, he just wants to play football. He wants an opportunity, obviously. He also wants more opportunity than he had last year. You know, one of his other later answers was, you don't want to be in the same place that you were. Not like Foxborough, but right. Like the place that you were maybe either on the depth chart, or if you have 40 catches 1 year, you want another year with 40 catches? Probably not.
No.
Probably want, or I didn't even have 40 catches. He had, I think, 33 catches.
He is an awfully confident guy.
He is. He said a while ago he would have been a first-round pick.
Right. Yeah. I was just about to bring that up. He's like, well, I could do it all.
I'm not going to say he would bet on himself because that's inappropriate, and I know he doesn't do that anymore.
Well, no, we have proof he did at one point.
At one point, yeah, he had like an octopus parlay. Like, thing was never going to hit. But no, you and I are both fans of Kayshon Booty. I was a later convert than Tommy Curran, who I feel like last year at this time was on with us. It's like he was talking up Kayshon Booty. But then you'd see him in the regular season and just big plays and the connection that he had with Drake May. And then in the playoffs, he had that unbelievable touchdown.
Yeah.
Remember, there was not many offensive highlights in the playoffs last year.
Nope.
And that was absolutely one of them. And people hype up this receiver room. And I agree, like, it's got decent depth. It still has one stud. This isn't one of the teams around the league that has two stud receivers. They have one stud receiver. And then they have a good complementary group after that. But I wouldn't get rid of any of those guys. I'm talking about like the top five guys, right? Yeah. If you have to put Kyle Williams on like a fake pup list, or if you have to put Chisholm on practice squad, I don't care.
But
the top five guys, I think, are pretty good. I wouldn't move on from any of them.
Again, if I got blown away in a deal for Kayshon Booty, I'd move him.
Okay.
And I'd move Pop Douglas in a deal too. Like, if all of a sudden Kyle Williams emerges and he had a nice day.
He did.
I'd consider moving Pop Douglas, and I wouldn't even need much for him. But largely, I agree with you. They're top five. I like the top five
good in
that room. We'll get you full updates from Patriots training camp, full reaction, our thoughts coming up here about 10 minutes from now, Keith. We also have Mego joining us at 1 o'clock. We'll get her thoughts, what she saw on the practice field, first day in full pads, day 5 of training camp, again here in Foxborough. We also have a key for madness for you at 12:45, so stay tuned for that. Mego at 1. You want to go on the clock? It's a little later than normal.
It's okay. I'm still ready.
Let's put you on the clock, Keith, with your Red Sox trade deadline predictions. Deadline is Monday. What are they going to do? Keith, you're on the clock.
All right, less than a week to go until the MLB trade deadline, and I've always said go big or go home. And I'm not ready to go home, so I'm going big. I'm calling the Kansas City Royals, and I'm offering Roman Anthony, Marcelo Meyer, Franklin Arias, Kyson Witherspoon, maybe another sweetener in there or two for Bobby Witt. I'm going all in. I'm like, this is my offer for Bobby Witt. If they turn you down, you pivot to the Nationals, and you call back the Nationals. You already know you have their number. That's a good sign. And you get C.J. Abrams. I take the same trade package. I remove Roman Anthony, and I go with everybody else for C.J. Abrams. If they say no, now I'm getting a little frustrated at this point, but now I call up the Angels and I get Zach Neto. Now I'm certainly removing Roman Anthony from that equation. I try to get Zach Neto because I'm improving the shortstop position. After that, you also need to improve catcher. And if you didn't get Witt or Abrams, try to make a play for Hunter Goodman. And if you do get one of those guys, make a play for Adley Rutschman. Adley Rutschman, I think, was burning hot a few years ago. I don't think he's going to cost as much now, the Orioles catcher. But I want to walk away with a new shortstop and a new catcher by Monday.
Okay. So that means you have one of Witt aiming high.
Yep.
Abrams still aiming high in my estimation.
Or Neto and a catcher.
Or Neto.
Yeah.
And either Goodman or Adley Rutschman.
That's
okay.
That's right.
Some very realistic names on there, but you got to shoot your shot too.
Yes.
If you're Craig Breslow, that is Keith's plan for the Red Sox trade deadline in just 60 seconds. If you have plans, we'll take your thoughts. 617-779-7937. But Nick, put me on the clock. All right, here's my Red Sox trade deadline predictions in just 60 seconds. I got my guy, Craig Breslow, Trader Craig, as I like to refer to him. He's already dealt for Curtis Meade, broke his wrist. He can't get discouraged by that. I don't think he will. You need to stay aggressive because Meade, most likely done. I don't think you're getting back Roman Anthony. I don't think you're getting back Garrett Crochet. I wouldn't expect anything out of those guys. So Breslow needs to swing big. I'm calling the Mets if I'm Breslow. I want a bat. I want a starter. I think the Mets have both. Give me Lindor. I think Lindor is a middle-of-the-order bat, a switch hitter, a guy who has a flair for the dramatic, a guy who you can plug right in at shortstop and play every single day. I want Lindor, and I also want a guy they were linked to in the offseason, Freddy Peralta. Not a great year with the Mets. He's a rental, but I'm giving up quite a bit for that combination. Arias, Ianson, Witherspoon, Meyer. All those names are on the table to get a shortstop and an arm. That's what I do at the deadline if I'm Craig Breslow.
You know what I forgot to mention, and you didn't either, but what do you do with Jaren Duran? DFA him,
well,
trade him. I don't have a left fielder coming back. So I
gotta think they're stuck with him.
They might be stuck.
We've been begging for them to trade him. Oh, since you brought up Duran,
there doesn't seem to be a lot of outfielder names.
No,
out there like on the fly, because like I wanted Byron Buxton. Everybody shot that one down weeks ago.
You know what I'd probably do with him right now, Keith? Because I'm guessing no one wants him. I just platoon him with Jamai Jones. He's now a platoon player, which is kind of what they're doing.
Yeah. I guess.
So that would probably be what I do. By the
way, probably have like a platoon at second, a platoon at DH, and a platoon in left.
Yeah. I didn't say Breslow was perfect.
No. We need some reinforcements.
Here you go. Red Sox stats had this last night.
Okay.
At 12:55 a.m. Again, this series has been such a slog.
Man.
Jaren Duran at that point in the game, I think that was his final at bat, 0-3, hitting .197 on the year.
Tough.
That is the lowest qualified batting average by a Red Sox hitter ever.
Ever?
And it's by 12 points. Qualified.
Do you have the answer for the other guy?
I do not. I don't know if he had a follow-up tweet. Any guesses?
Yeah, Tony Pena. Tony Pena growing up, Bill, always had like a really low batting average. He maybe didn't qualify. Maybe didn't play enough games. I feel like he just could not hit a lick. He doesn't have the answer, huh?
I don't know if it was that bad.
I don't see the
Tony Pena?
I know what you mean. I mean, it wasn't great, but I don't think it was that bad.
Oh, you're out of your mind. Here we go.
Were we too distracted by the extended leg?
He was a really good defensive catcher.
I loved how he caught back there.
That's like the norm now.
You're right. For the Red Sox, career average of the Red Sox, .234.
Oh, score one for Bill.
Although, 1993,
all right.
Maybe this is my first memory as a kid, 9 years old, he hit .181.
Gotcha. Yeah.
There you go. So I was half right.
Okay. Your first memory of baseball.
Yeah, it was.
Tony Pena's terrible season.
Tony Pena grounding out to short.
Maybe we can get the answer, but again, 197 by 12 points, he's the worst qualified hitter in franchise history. So I don't know what the minimum threshold is for that.
Right.
But congratulations to Jaren Duran. Yeah, what do they do with him? Part of the problem.
See if Mona can hit one into the clubhouse right here. 2-0. Suarez sets, he throws, Monasterio swings and drives one high into left field. It is way back. It is gone! Mona! Two-run bomb, and it's 4-2 Red Sox in the 10th.
Bada-bing, bada-boom, money in the bank.
Two hosts and an enforcer. It's Rich and Ken with Ted Johnson.
Yes, it is. Except Ken not here. He's up in New York going to see Rush. Christian Arcanon with us. And you can call us at 617-779-7937. Go on to the Odyssey app and press that little microphone button if you ain't got time to be on hold. We love to hear your message. We play them in the 5 o'clock hours. We launch our take grenades. And that is Will Fleming with an excellent call. Excellent call. That was a good one. The only thing that would have made it better if it wasn't against the A's and if more people were up listening to it, because obviously that was – when was that call made? Like, you think around like 12:15 in the morning?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We got a text from Christian at about 12:15 in the morning.
Yeah.
The game wasn't over just yet, so.
Not quite.
Christian was like, well, this team's – what did you say? It looks like they're going to be making some sort of move before the morning, breaking news. This is awful.
Yeah. And, well, I mean, they only managed 2 runs again, and they aren't scoring many runs against this team, period. This A's team is not a good pitching team, and the last 3 starting pitchers that they went up against all kind of suck. And the Red Sox, I didn't expect them to, like, mash all the rest of the summer here or anything like that, but their offense was pretty good in the homestand, and it was great going into the break. And now it seems to have really kind of leveled off. And, you know, we already know that it's going to be tough for Craig Breslow, who I thought was pretty interesting this morning with Hillman. But we know it's going to be tough for him to make moves anyway, because they're all so beholden to the algorithm and what makes sense and what makes sense value-wise. Now everybody knows, yeah, you're extra desperate here because your offense is falling apart again, not to mention the guy you just traded for got hurt and is out for however long.
Yeah, the however long, and we're hearing 6 to 8 weeks. I think I saw like Chris Cotillo put that out there. I mean, it's not a definite, but that's,
that means
I
six think, to 8 months.
Right.
Right, that just might be the case.
That means the funeral's next Saturday. Yeah.
Oh, man, I just the misdiagnosing of all of these injuries is just insane, which, by the way, Craig Breslow did address. I thought that he was very good on Greg Hill's show this morning, and let's get to this first. So he was asked about what the biggest needs are going into the deadline, seeing now that your big trade or one of your trades is not going to be able to help your team for the time being. Let's go to the question, What do you need as you approach this deadline right around
the corner? Is there an area that you feel like you need to address in order to make a deep postseason run?
It's hard to say need versus would like to or want to, because you know the roster that we have on the field, will have on the field tonight is one that has won a bunch of games in July and won 15 games in a row. Now I think realistically we know that as you work your way through the postseason, you're getting only the team's best lineup, the opposing team's best lineup, and only the opposing team's best three or four starting pitchers and their best two or three relievers. In the postseason, it's a lot harder to stack single after single after single, and most runs come via the home run. So power has been a conversation for this group for a while. But, I think as a result of the work that the players are doing and the coaches are doing, we're also seeing the quality of our bats go up and the damage on balls that get put into play go up with the same players. So I don't want to discount the improvements that have been made within the group and the work that's being done. But we're going to cast a wide net as is the responsible thing to do as we approach the deadline over the next 4 days.
I'm not going to lie. I'm lost. What did he say?
It is like interviewing a computer, you know? Like it's not, you're not getting, like, words.
A lot of just word after word after word I guess they're sentences. But the one thing I did take from him is that he's basically saying you can win a lot of games by how they're playing their style of small ball. He didn't use the reference small ball, but just basically kind of explained, said it in different ways. But then you get to the playoffs, you got to hit home runs. So he's basically saying we can't win the way we're winning in the playoffs like we're winning in the regular season. I think that was kind of one of the things that came out of that. I find that interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it was. But I'm glad you guys kind of felt the same way I did. He's a little bit of word salad there, not really telling you exactly what their needs are. But, I mean, everything we're hearing is a shortstop. Like, that seems to be, like, from Buster only and everyone else. And, yeah, some sort of pitching and a shortstop is what they're looking at. And one thing, and we're not going to play the clip because it was a long answer to something that I can summarize pretty quick, is they were talking about how, he's not afraid to pick up the phone and call about big-name players that he thinks may not be on the market, which I like. Which, he says we're not doing our job if we don't say, hey, is Shohei Ohtani available? You know what I mean? Like, guys that you think that these people would have no chance of ever trading, because he was talking about the worst thing is when you come into work one morning and you find out that some player got traded that you didn't look into because you thought he was completely off the market. So at least there, it sounds like they might be trying to be aggressive and asking for some of those players that right now we're just not thinking about, which I like. I thought it was a good answer, and it may be somewhat hopeful.
Yeah. Can I tell you one thing that made me hopeful, Rich, real quick, before I move off of this? Yeah. Is something Tyler Milliken tweeted out this morning over at Section 10 that he heard from Ken Rosenthal put out on his show. But it is that the Rockies asked the Red Sox, which I think is important phrasing here, asked the Red Sox for a multiplayer package led by Franklin Arias for Hunter Goodman. Goodman, who has 3 years left of control, and Arias is a prospect, obviously, but the number three prospect in baseball. But how about the Rockies ask the Red Sox? The Rockies are trying, that to me, that's very that gives me a lot of hope that there could be something there, because Goodman would be a much bigger deal than Curtis Meade. I mean, I think we all agree with that. Arias is the centerpiece of it, and you don't have to go too far into, like, your rotation for Peyton Tolley or Jake Bennett or somebody like that, if that's who they're asking for and it's all the rest of it is just, other guys, then I wouldn't let them off the phone. Like, I'd say, yeah, absolutely, let's get this done right now. Because you said catcher, Ted, and you're right. Yeah. The catcher would be a great place to improve.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So we were talking to Chad Tracy yesterday, and we asked him a little bit about the Roman Anthony situation. And we had him describe, because he called it, he's taking intermittent dry swing. Am I saying that word? Intermittent. Yes. I can't even say it correctly.
Intermittent. Yeah.
Yeah. Intermittent. Dry swings. And I had to interrupt him, and I was like, I don't even know what that means. Yeah. Like, can you describe to me what that is? And he said that it is with something lighter than a regular baseball bat. So he is holding something in his hands, and he's only swinging every several days. Like, it's either every other day or every third day, which, once again, just sounds crazy that we're at this point where he can barely hold, like, a wiffle ball bat in his hand and swing it without feeling any pain, whereas Rob Bradford tells us he's high-fiving people, he's doing defensive drills.
Yeah. I mean, I find it interesting. I think Chad said in that interview that they basically he's out there doing all the defensive stuff, running and, you know, shagging balls. It's like, man, it's if you can throw the baseball and catch the baseball, but you can't swing a bat, it's, I don't know, there's something, there's a disconnect with that I'm not sure what it means, but I just find it weird that he can do all that other stuff with his hands, but he can't swing a bat.
I remember with Yoshida, there was a weird thing like that, too. Like, he could swing, but he couldn't throw.
Right.
Remember? And they, so it's like, all right, well, we can have him hit, but we can't have him play the field. And it's like, how can he swing, but he can't throw? Like, how does that work? But it's baseball. They're weird. It's weird muscles.
Right.
It's
the complete opposite with Yoshida. He can hit, but he can't field. Yeah.
So Brez was asked about the – I called him Brez, by the way, because we're tight like that.
Good boys.
And he was asked about Roman Anthony's return, and here's what he had to say.
How much does his return impact what you guys do between now and the trade deadline Monday at 6?
Sure. I will say not much in that we want Roman back. Roman is doing everything he possibly can to get back. And the moment he steps foot back on the field for us, we're going to get better. At the same time, we have to make all of these decisions kind of independent of each other, just so that we don't find ourselves relying on something that we're not certain about. And so if there's an opportunity to get better in front of us and it fits us, we're going to do everything we can to take advantage of it, knowing that Roman in the background is working as hard as he can to get back. And whenever that happens, it's going to be a massive boost.
All right. Do you think that there's any chance that they could be exploring a trade with Roman Anthony?
Yes.
Okay. Because I mean, the more I think about him, just trying to keep him away, trying to keep it to where we don't really know how injured he is. He's down here, just away from the world, makes me think that maybe, just maybe, they're taking calls on this guy. Mm. And what makes you think that, Christian? I mean, like, is it because? Because sometimes we've seen this in the past. You can be fed up with a player and try to trade them. I'm not saying they're fed up with them. But my God, right now, I'm listening to everything because I don't understand and I don't get what's going on with him right now.
Yeah, I think that if they're really big game hunting, right? Like, we've heard that from several people. Passing now, a week ago, he was saying, now the Red Sox aren't going to be that aggressive. Now he's got them in the big game hunting list with like 12 other teams. But if that's really what they're doing, if they're going out there for the Witts and the De La Cruzes or the Lindors or whoever, then, you know, you already traded one of your pitchers. You already traded one of your stud, young, cost-controlled lefty pitchers. What else are they going to ask for if they even ask for Roman Anthony? He may have, you know, his stock may be down enough that it'll take more than that now. What, do you want us to take on this risk? You paid him all this money. He can barely get on the field, and he's been out for 3 months with a sore finger. You know, like, what are we supposed to give you our best player for him? Like, he's had 70 games where he was good. So, you know, like, I think that absolutely could be part of it. I wouldn't do it. I think that's selling low on Anthony. But if that could net you one of the whales, if that could net you one of the big names, yeah, absolutely. And I think they're probably dangling him out there.
All right, we'll take your calls next. 617-779-7937. There's a little bit more about Roman, and I mean, I'm really, really now, because the stuff that I'm hearing just is starting to unfortunately make sense. I don't want it to make sense, and it almost feels like we're in the middle of that scene at the end of The Usual Suspects where he's figuring out the Kaiser Soze thing. I'm dropping the cup right now as we speak. It sure does feel like there is something rotten with the way that these answers are coming in, because I just don't think they're on the same page.
The limp is disappearing. He's walking normally now. It's all
right,
happening.
Right. Verbal Kent, all of a sudden, is walking fast on the sidewalk.
No more limp.
Yeah. Yep, no more limp.
For many parents, there's a distinct moment when it hits you. It's not just about you anymore. It's about making sure the people you love are taken care of, no matter what the future holds. And for a lot of people, that's exactly what gets them thinking about life insurance. If you've been putting it off because you think it's too complicated, life insurance through Ethos is designed to change that. Ethos makes the process of getting covered fast and easy by moving it 100% online. There are no medical exams. Applicants just answer a few simple health questions. You can get up to $3 million in coverage with some policies starting as low as $30 a month. It's a straightforward way to help provide financial security for your family. Take 10 minutes to get covered today with life insurance through Ethos. Get your free quote at ethos.com/Greg Hill. That's ethos.com/Greg Hill. Application times may vary. Rates may vary.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Diamond Dynasty has all new Red Diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter X.com/AI.
Graybar helps you install faster and smarter with kitting, staging, wire carts, Graybar smart reels, and delivery notifications. We take the hassle out of your job site so you can focus on what you do best, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
Dad told us last week on this show that Roman Anthony was at the Homewood down in Fort Myers rehabbing. How much does his return impact what you guys do between now and the trade deadline Monday at 6?
Sure. I will say not much in that we want Roman back. Roman is doing everything he possibly can to get back. And the, you know, the moment he steps back foot, he steps foot back on the field, for us, we're going to get better. At the same time, we have to make all of these decisions, kind of independent of each other, just so that we don't find ourselves relying on something that we're not certain about. And so if there's an opportunity to get better in front of us and it fits us, we're going to do everything we can to take advantage of it, knowing that Roman in the background is working as hard as he can to get back. And whenever that happens, it's going to be a massive boost.
That was more from Craig Breslow earlier today on the Greg Hill Show. Again, if you missed any of that, Odyssey app, great way to listen to Jones and Keefe wherever you go, or any interviews you miss out on Rich and Ken with Ted or the Greg Hill Show. Jones and Keefe live today at Gillette Stadium. We'll go on the clock with our Red Sox trade deadline predictions at high noon. Kiefer Madness at 12:45. Normally we have Brad Foe today. We're going to talk to Brad Foe tomorrow instead, leading up to the trade deadline. But Mego will join us here today with all of her thoughts. Day 5, Patriots training camp, first day in full pads here for the Patriots. We'll get to what Breslau had to say about Roman Anthony in a moment. Credit to our guy Savage, Keefe.
Oh, he's on it?
He's the only person I could see.
All right.
That said Gonzo was working out by himself without a coach, away from the rest of the DBs, and then he updated it 2 minutes later and said he's now rejoined the team for stretches.
Okay.
I didn't see any of the beat writers do that, so good for Savage, good for us.
Yes.
Gonzo, I thought, was about to go work out by himself again on a side field, but he's working out with what looked like captain-level players to me. Spillane, Byard, maybe even the eraser, Craig Woods.
It was those four guys.
They were all working separately, like away from everyone else, those four. So I wouldn't raise my antenna on that. I did have my antenna raised when he was completely by himself and a coach away from everyone earlier today.
Yeah, no, I mean, but it's still separate from all of the corners a couple of times. So he's out here. He is in full pads. We haven't seen these guys go up against some of the receivers just yet.
Nope.
You know, we haven't had even the opportunity for like an A.J. Brown, Christian Gonzalez one-on-one. Looking forward to that if and when that happens. But, yeah, Gonzo's there and kind of moving around a little bit. So, yeah, interesting. I mean, I would say it's a little bit different than what it's been.
Yeah.
But, like, close enough where you could sort of argue, like, what do you want? He's out there.
Is this him out there. Is this him walking out on the field right now? It is, right? He's out at, like, the 35, moving towards the 30. I'm pretty sure that's him.
Let's see.
He's kind of angled away from us. So I don't know if you can see the number. I'm pretty sure he's out there right
now. Yeah, that's him.
So, all right. Well, let's see where this goes. Because I'll maintain, if he's out there and he's doing everything today, I'll feel better about where Curran was a couple of days ago, and some others have said, oh, well, you know, if he's out there and he's doing everything,
true,
they got to be close on a deal. If he's out there in full pads today doing everything, then I'm going to feel better about that.
Yeah, he just did that drill. Now, again, they're in full pads, but they're not hitting.
And would you say they're going full speed? No.
No.
I would say they're going, but they're going
70%.
Thank you. 75, 80%.
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
Yeah.
So it's not full speed, but it's not walkthrough level either.
Right.
So anything that happens with Gonzo, we'll be sure to keep you up to speed. Anything that happens here in training camp, like, I don't know, a random completion from Drake May to A.J. Brown.
It can happen today.
We'll make sure to update that as well. What do you think of some of Breslow's answers this morning about Roman Anthony? Not just the time frame for his return, which sounds like no updates there, not a surprise.
No.
But also, he was asked about Curtis at one point, or asked by Curtis at one point, whether or not there are players that are off limits, and Breslow's like, well, there's some that we won't take calls on depending on who's involved, but basically the implication was if a big enough name is involved, we're taking calls on anybody on the roster, Roman Anthony included. He didn't say that.
No. But that's what's implied.
But he was
asked
about Roman Anthony, and he said basically for the right player, we have to be responsible for the organization and listen.
Yeah, I like that. I also like the answer that we played coming back where he's not relying on Roman Anthony to come back. Right?
No.
We've seen too many times where the Red Sox have had, oh, there's all these guys that are injured and they're coming back. So,
well, let's see if they actually
– No, I know.
Let's
I know.
See if that happens because it's one thing to say it before the deadline. But if they do nothing at the deadline, they might start talking up the return of those guys, and that's bullcrap.
I agree. But he also could have gone the route of, like, man, like getting him back in the lineup really would be something, and he's an important part of where we're going. No,
that's true.
There wasn't any of that.
Nope.
There wasn't, like, if we're going to achieve our dreams, Roman Anthony's going to be a part of it. It wasn't that. So I read it as he's certainly not going to give him away. He's certainly, I don't think, leading the conversation with, like, hey, we got Roman Anthony here if you're interested. But depending on who he's talking to, and there was another answer later in there where he's talking about like big ticket items, I would think Roman Anthony's name could come up, and I think it should. I'm not giving up on the guy. Everybody asks this question. I'm giving up on Roman Anthony.
No.
Giving up on Marcelo Meyer. Not giving up on either one of them, but if you could maximize
I'm
that.
I'm closer to giving up on Meyer than Anthony.
No, same, same. But I'm just saying, like, if the other team talking to you still feels like there's real value and you get like a stud player in return because they want the years of control, they want a shot at the younger player, then yeah, I'm trading them. Whereas like this time last year, man, I would have had to been bowled over. I might have had to been like Shohei Ohtani a year ago.
Right. We were both surprised when Bradfo last week was like, yeah, well, Roman Anthony had a deal for Bobby Witt. We're like, whoa.
Oh, I hadn't even thought of that.
Not only Bobby Witt, but now you're trading Anthony.
That was like the bigger piece of it.
Interesting.
And I'm okay with that. I think in these scenarios, right, like so as much as I still wouldn't have done the early for Meade trade, you kind of get it from the baseball perspective where you're like, all right, we're team controlled, 25-year-old for another one.
Got a lot of pitching, need a bat.
Yeah.
Both are cost controlled.
Okay.
Both have 5 years or whatever of control.
Right. And if you're worried about, if you're worried at all about Meyer being the future shortstop, if you're even worried a little bit about like Roman Anthony being a middle of the order bat or like a leadoff second hitter like type of guy, and you trade him for Bobby Witt, then like, okay, like you know that's what Bobby Witt is. Then the next team, like the Royals, would have to hope that Roman Anthony develops into Bobby Witt.
Problem solved.
You already have him.
Brian is in Brockton. Hello, Brian.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Pretty good.
That's good. I just wanted to speak about. Are you laughing at me?
It was just a funny.
Oh, it's good.
It's funny. You go, how's he doing? He says, good. It's good. Yeah. It's just everybody's good. That's all. It's just funny.
Good.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I just wanted to talk about as far as the position you guys have taken regarding Tracy's answering the question as far as the X-ray. Now, he's asked a question as far as, you know, what's the status of Meade's injury. And based on information he had, he said the X-ray came back negative regards to bullet. So I use the analogy.
Right.
If you look but
they didn't dodge a bullet, Brian. Don't you see the problem there?
They didn't dodge a bullet, but he didn't have the full information.
Okay, so maybe don't share the little information you have. It's
if the little information is so useless, just be like, we'll know more tomorrow.
By that logic, you should just tell everybody every thought that ever pops into your head and just, oh, well, hey, I was thinking this, and like that's what I was thinking at the time, so I decided to share it. No, hold some of it back. Look, we're hoping that we're going to get some good information, but we want to wait until the morning, and let's see how he comes in here tomorrow, and like, you know, fingers crossed. Like, that would send a lot different message than we dodged a bullet.
I would say defending the Red Sox doctors and the team personnel and how they communicate the injuries is strange.
It's
like
weird.
They've been pretty bad all season long.
That guy's from Worcester. You think he's like Tracy's neighbor or something like that?
Oh, maybe. But we're not even – we said this yesterday. We're trying to be clear. Like, Chad Tracy is not a liar. I'm sure he was told that. But if he knows that we're going to know a lot more tomorrow, why even say we dodged a bullet? Because it just looks like a comedy routine where you're like, oh, you guys thought Roman Anthony was going to be on the IL.
Right. And again,
out for 3 months.
My issue today with Breslow is Breslow's like, well, yeah, we've learned from this. It's like, no, you have not.
I don't think they have.
You keep doing the same thing over and over. Nothing has been learned there. And so, look, I think Breslow's a pretty good baseball guy. I think he's made a lot of good baseball trades. But the communication.
It's ridiculous.
And in this case, it's over-communication.
And nobody believes any of it, because then there was the Chris Cotillo report, because we were like, oh, Curtis Meade had the same injury. He was out 62 days.
Yeah.
And then there was like, well, actually, he doesn't need surgery. He's only going to be out like 4 weeks or whatever. And everyone's like, you mean 4 months?
Yeah.
Like, nobody buys that.
They're still leaking more information.
Correct.
Saying they've learned not to share any information. So that's our issue.
We'll check the vibe on
Brezbot.
And I think I believe that he has now secured his job into the near future, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I would
say
so.
I mean, you're the one who generally asked the tough questions.
We asked him that question, too.
Yes,
remember, he was kind of like, you know, I don't really concern myself with that. And I don't think he didn't give us the Alex Cora, like, you know, I'm just focused on, I think he's moving to something to Puerto Rico or something like that at the time, but. Yeah, we asked Brezbot about that, and he seemed pretty secure in his job, which, I mean, after what he's been able to do, it looks like they're going to make the postseason, and if they continue on that path, I think John Henry is probably super happy with that, and he's probably happy with the fact that they can keep Chad Tracy for a fraction of what it was costing them to have Alex Cora as their manager. I mean, how much you think it's going to cost the Chad Tracy if they give him a new deal?
I mean,
a million or two?
I would assume a couple million dollars, maybe at the top end of it, I would assume.
Yeah,
but they're still paying Cora too.
Right. But I mean, I guess, you know, they're gonna have to pay Cora for what?
One more year
or is it 2 more years?
1 more year.
Yeah, and they were paying him $7 million, so he's like one of the highest paid managers in Major League Baseball, so they're probably getting Tracy for, you know, less than $2 million, I'd imagine.
All the more reason for an ownership group to not want a lockout. So hopefully you keep the momentum going. You have a team now that's on the come up. And I think, I don't know whether it's Otto Lopez from the Marlins or someone else, but don't you think they kind of have to go after a similar bat that Curtis Meade was? If they thought it was that important to trade Connolly early for it, now that he's out for at least 8 weeks. At the bare minimum, you would hope that they would have to fix the problem that wasn't their fault, but the broken wrist.
I don't know how you feel about it, but I we'll have to get into it when you look at what the whisper is. But in the potential deal that seems to be talked about the most, I think they're giving up Peyton Tolley.
So, oh, okay.
So I don't know how you feel about that, Curtis.
Oh, wow.
For Lopez?
It's for a couple players, a couple Marlins players.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
I saw Peyton Tolley in the Bobby Witt Jr. deal, where basically they give up all their best players.
Oh, yes. Okay, so not in the Marlins deal.
No.
Chime can Google on that Marlins deal, and then we can get to it during. I'll get to it later.
Even the Bobby Witt Jr. deal. That's kind of interesting that the two young pitchers that we thought like okay could be part of this rotation moving forward in the future. They already traded one in early. And now there's whispers that they'd be willing to move on from Tolley, which is, you know, very interesting, especially when you don't have a healthy Crochet. So you just have Sonny Gray, Ranger Suarez, Bennett, and then you're kind of trying to figure it out from there. That is very interesting.
A one. Swing and a drive. Into deep left center field. Back of the warning track. Center fielder Bolte on the run. Crashing into the wall. He makes the play. And the ball game is over. The Red Sox battle in the ninth, but they come up one run short. Frustration in Sacramento. 4-3 Athletics.
I thought Seagulls got a hold of that one. Like a French fry at the beach. I thought he was all over that one. Right off the bat, Keith, I was like, here we go. They tied the game. I thought he got it. That's
well, especially
after,
in that park where you can hit a pop-up and you'd be throw your bat in frustration and it's a grand slam. I mean, you're like, that one should be gone.
Two nights ago, both Soderstrom and Raffaello, the grand slam. Off the bat, I'm like, these things have no shot, and they got out of there.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the catcher, who I bet against last night for a hit, I was pretty frustrated when he hit that home run on multiple levels last night. Oh. But the catcher for the A's, like, that was a no-doubter off the bat. Like, that one you knew.
Yeah.
And the Wong one you knew.
Yeah.
That Seagulls one I thought was going to get out.
Come
last
on, Seagulls.
Night. And it did not. And it masks a little bit what they did in the ninth inning, the Wong home run, how poor the offense has been in Sacramento. Because it was really one swing of the bat. On Monday, it was a big one, Raffaella, but it was a pop fly in a lot of ballparks, and it's one honestly, the kid Thomas or whoever it was could have caught. He crashed into the wall, and he lost it, but he had it in his glove.
Right.
And then last night, they had, again, no runs early on in the game, despite having it felt like a ton of base runners the first couple innings. Gage jumped, settled in after that. They don't score until the eighth. They tack on two more in the ninth. It took forever to get the offense going for the second night in a row. They were getting no hit through the first five innings two nights ago. The bats have gone silent, and it coincides with Meade getting hurt and the trade deadline less than a week away. So it's time for Craig Breslow to, again, dust himself off after actually making a trade in advance of the deadline, a polarizing trade, but a trade nonetheless and a bold one. It's time for him to dust himself off and go get some help because the offense feels like it's drying up.
Well, that was the one thing, though. Even during the winning streak, I don't think anybody was like, oh, the offense is all set. They don't need a bat. Like, that was obvious they needed maybe multiple bats. That's what we're talking about. Left fielders, shortstops, catchers. We're like lefty, righty, right? It wasn't even like a righty bat. Like, they needed bats. They were embracing small ball, which I think they're going to have to do. So I'm okay with that part of it. But you know, Caleb Durbin kind of heating up a little bit. Like, all right, like, how good of a player is he going to be? I don't think he's going to be as bad as April. He's probably not going to be as good as June was for him. So, like, it's going to be somewhere in the middle. They need to be able to, like, you're leading off either Seagulls, and last night you're leading off Jones. Like,
when you started, we ripped the double right down left. I
like that, but I'm just saying, like, I don't know how sustainable that is long term. No. Like, I think it's going to be pitching and defense still, but that's why the needs are obvious for this team. And Breslow did at least try to address that. Unfortunately, that guy goes down in his second at bat. But you still have, between now and Monday, to get another couple of deals done.
I mean, the silver lining to making a deal early, even though Meade immediately got hurt.
That would have been brutal.
Immediately got hurt.
Good one.
It's not like you traded for him. The first game after the deadline, he goes out, breaks his wrist.
And you have no other
And now you're like, well, crap, we just... The silver lining is you do have time to correct this and get something done.
Now, you gave up a lot for him, but not a lot of bodies, right? So, like, I feel like the value was tipped in the scales of the Nationals. I like Connolly early, but it's not like you threw in three prospects. Like, so you still have plenty of players that I think other teams would want that you can swing deals with.
You still have Arias. You still have Ianson. You still have Witherspoon. You know,
Meyer.
Yeah. I don't know how many people want him.
Darren Durant.
You still have pieces to throw into a deal. There's no doubt about it. Yeah. We'll get to your phone calls in a moment, and I want to get to what seems to be the Red Sox latest fascination as a target. But just on the game, for the first time in a while, I was frustrated with Chad Tracy. It started with the lineup.
I agree, and I know what the other thing you're going to say, too.
I didn't like the lineup at all.
The lineup was kind of pretty shoddy.
The whole reason you shuffled the lineup the other day was to get Meade in there.
So put
he's on the IL.
Raffaella back at two.
Thank you.
I agree with you.
So it started with the lineup. I was annoyed. Put Contreras back at four. Mm-hmm. I get that they were stacking their righties to start, but like, go back to the lineup that had been working.
Right.
Yeah, Meade, you shuffled your lineup for Meade. He's hurt. He's on the IL. Go back to your regular lineup.
Yeah.
So that was number one. What do you think was number two?
Jake Bennett. I would have said, thanks for the six innings. Because even in the sixth, you're like, all right, this might be his last hitter. I know the pitch count was down, but don't look at the pitch count. Look at the effectiveness. And I would have said, awesome, awesome performance, Jake. Unfortunately, we're not scoring any runs for you, but you're going to come out after six, put it down as a quality start. It still technically is a quality start because it was three earned runs in six and a third. But you leave on such a sour note. And the way the offense was able to scrap together a couple runs later, you never know, butterfly effect, what would have happened. So he should have been pulled earlier.
So I agree. That was on my list.
Which is something that I feel like he's done more often than not. I've usually agreed when he's taken Peyton Tolley out a little early.
Yep.
Now, some of that might be he's told, hey, he's only going to throw so many pitches. But there are times where you're like, oh, he's got a bunch of strikeouts, put him out for one more inning, and he doesn't.
This was one
I don't know what he was doing.
Me either. And especially,
is it because Whitlock and Chapman went?
So that's what I was wondering. They pitched Slayton, Whitlock, and Chapman on Monday.
All right.
Which means they did not pitch Guerrero. But okay, maybe he was trying to get cute there. But for a guy who you're worried about his innings limit, Lou was talking about this on TV last night. It's like, yeah, you gotta manage these guys'
innings.
That was
an obvious one.
Bringing him back out, I didn't like. Yeah. I also, and this one may not have been Tracy. This could have been Durbin on his own. I didn't like the Durbin sack bunt when he did it. I'm trying to remember what inning that was. I'm going back and looking. Was it in the eighth when they ultimately broke through?
Mm.
But Durbin had one sack bunt.
Their first run was in the eighth.
Yeah. Sorry, it was in the seventh. Okay. So Rafael a leadoff single, and Durbin bunts him up. I'm like, you're bunting up for Duran?
Yeah,
I didn't like that. And Durbin, look, they've been hot with these sacrifice bunts, so I didn't love that sack bunt either. But I didn't think Tracy had a great night. I think largely he's been awesome.
Mm.
But I'll be fair, I didn't think it was a great night for him. I think that helped contribute to the Red Sox and their quiet bats. They do need to make a move. It seems like the latest fascination, Keith, according to Buster Olney and Jeff Passan this morning.
Who do we got?
Otto Lopez.
So you must like Otto Lopez. Doesn't he have like a super high batting average?
Oh, he's hitting like 330.
He and Luis Arraez are staring at each other for that batting title?
Buster Olney, what he wrote out the other day is he was, as of yesterday, leading the majors with a 331 batting average, 22 steals, good defense on top of it, OAA and DRS. I checked this. OAA and DRS, bad arm though, right? I even checked this.
Bad arm, yep.
I even checked this.
I'm looking at the Savant right now.
One step ahead of the D-God yesterday.
Hire me.
Yeah. So
I always want to be one step ahead. So
he said,
but better than like Neto, right? Because everybody points out Zach Neto can't field.
Well, again, OAA can't field, DRS he nets out well. So I think it's mixed on Neto, to be honest.
Okay,
but the Boston Red Sox are searching for a shortstop. Writes Buster Olney. One name that has come up is Miami Marlins Otto Lopez, an NL All-Star earlier this month. Quote from one rival executive with knowledge of Boston's interest: he'd be a great player for them. Lopez is a contact hitter.
There you go.
The sort of fit and sort of player Breslow has targeted in the past. He's 27 years old, leads the majors with a 331 batting average, 22 steals, and is regarded, only writes, as a positive personality. If the Marlins do move Lopez, they would be trading a player on the upswing.
Yeah.
He had an OPS of 700 in 2024 and 2025. I'm sorry, under 700.
Oh, yeah, same.
In 24 and 25.
On the nose.
Yeah, it was 673 last year.
And he'll have 3+ years of service time after this. I will say
this doesn't help your power at all.
No, and he has this in common with Curtis Meade as well. Twice DFA'd. Meade had just been DFA'd this offseason.
Yeah.
Lopez has been DFA'd a couple of different times in his career.
So this is an example of these teams might be able to capitalize on their little spark, and you might have to give up too much for them because the shortstop market could be thin. I mean, we've tossed out a lot of names, but you hear the Astros being like, well, Jeremy Pena is not going anywhere. And so they're like, all right. And CJ Abrams, we'll see. The guy's having such a good season. I think it's going to cost a lot to get him. He would be an upgrade, and I'd try to ride that high from this season.
But it can't be overpaying.
You cannot overpay for him. You already overpaid for one guy, and then this guy, you still are a team that's going to have to win on bunts. You don't have any power hitting.
He has
very little.
He has 3+ years, meaning the rest of this year and then 3 years of service time. After year three, you start making money, right? You're arbitration eligible.
Yeah.
So my guess is the Marlins are going to be motivated to move on.
Sure.
They're probably motivated to cash in, but they're going to be motivated to move on because they're going to have to start paying him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's not a guy I would overpay for. I'm interested if it's not an overpay, but if we're talking like Arias or Ianson,
no.
Hell no.
I wouldn't even trade the spoon for him.
Yeah, I don't know. That one I'm a little more wishy-washy.
I'm happy to trade him in like other deals. This is my problem with early. Like I would have traded early, ultimately, but not for what you got. And so something like Otto Lopez, even less so.
Yeah, Duran ain't getting that done. But I'd trade Duran for him.
Sure.
But yeah, no, that's not a name that moves the needle. Neto and CJ Abrams and Lindor and Seager, like some of the other shortstops they've been linked to, I've been pretty interested in.
Yep.
This feels like the guy's having a career year. And was an all-star, and maybe he'll be a random ball player in 10 years, and we'll be like, oh, yeah, he made an all-star team one time.
You think Drop God will get it that day?
Lopez?
What's the question?
I say yes.
Will you get the random player?
I say yes.
He might. He might. He's due. He's very much due.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB and all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame. How will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players Inc.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.
Outdated automation doesn't have to slow you down. Graybar helps you identify risks, modernize strategically, and minimize disruption every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search the Great Bear Rescue to learn more.